Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfupi on Kaya 959. Inside your pocket on Kaya Biz.
Hi Gugu, I'd like to remain anonymous. I am in a process of getting a divorce. My husband and I, we've been married for 7 years, together for 9, but we've decided to go our separate ways. My problem with this is that my husband lost his job in 2019 March and has been unable to secure something since. So now that we are getting a divorce, I'm worried about my finances and my assets. What can I do to protect my assets after this divorce? Please help. Thank you.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfupi.
Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m.
Yep, if you just joined us, you're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. And a moment ago, we just played you a voice note from one of our listeners who is quite clearly in a very difficult and precarious situation, ending her marriage and looking at alternatives in terms of how best she can protect her assets. And let's be honest, this is something that many South Africans have gone through, others more will most likely continue to go through, and raises a lot of important questions as to how best one not only needs to manage their finances when in a marriage or in a relationship, but also when that relationship or marriage then ends. And this is how we are going to respond to our listeners' concerns. You too, if you have any questions about protecting your assets, either through a divorce or any other kind of tumultuous challenges you might be facing, do feel free to dial in on 086-000-959. Alternatively, send us your tweets at Kaya On Air and use the hashtag KayaBiz. We are here to serve and we're here to empower as much knowledge as possible. And we're not doing that alone. We always make sure that we go back to the experts and individuals who know and understand our story and our journeys as Black South Africans. And today we're joined by two individuals who will assist us with this conversation. Gerald Mwandiambira, Acting CEO and Chief Strategist at SASSI. That's the South African Savings Institute. You might recall he joined us last week and a lot of you were asking questions, and Gerald can certainly help. You can also find him on Twitter at Ask Gerald CFP. And he's not alone, joined this evening by Sis Eunice Sibiya, independent financial educator and coach, who can also be found on social media at Coach Eunice. We'll confirm that for you in just a moment. But these are two South Africans who have a wealth of knowledge within financial planning and personal financial management, and are going to assist us with the complex positioning that our listener has been placed in. Gerald and Sis, you, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Good evening, Google.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Always good to touch base with you. Mr. G, I think I'll start with you because you always tell it like it is, right? Especially when it comes to money, marriage and relationships. I guess before we even get to the scenario where our listener is currently placed at the moment, facing a potential divorce or a divorce, what are the kind of conversations that need to take place at the beginning of any relationship or marriage regarding money and how two parties are going to manage that?
Look, I think, you know, with marriage, a lot of us go into it with emotion in terms of the love and the attachment. But in terms of the law and in the eyes of the law, when two people get married, it's simply a financial contract. Mm-hmm. So it ends up becoming a financial contract. And when you ignore that side of things, especially when you go the route of things are not working out, it is an issue when you divide the assets. The thing that will determine what happens to our caller's assets is the marriage regime which she chose or by default did not choose when she got married. If it's a traditional marriage or a normal civil marriage, all the assets will be held in a marriage regime called a community of property. Mm-hmm. Now, community of property simply means that all of the assets of the two individuals who come together and get married and join their estates being everything they're worth, when they divorce, they actually split it in two, regardless of who came with more, who made more, you become one estate. So when you divorce, it becomes an equal distribution of the debt as well as the assets. If you're not married in community or property, you can also choose to nominate a different type of marriage, which is called an anti-nuptial contract. Anti meaning before, a before marriage contract with accrual, which basically says that these are the things I'm bringing to the marriage. Should we divorce, they remain mine. We only divide the assets which accrued after we were married. And then also you can go for an antenuptial contract without accrual, where basically you say, you know what, what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours, regardless of the fact we're married, our estates never actually come together. So that's what determines, Kuku, the outcome as to whether you can protect assets or not. And normally when you're already at divorce stage, the only protection you can have is if you had an antenuptial contract, either with accrual, where in this 7-year marriage should only be dividing the things which they accrued over 7 years, or as well as the debt. And also if there was an antenuptial contract without accrual, simply they simply walk away from each other and should have nothing to fear. My worry right now is that she mentioned that he's accumulating or he's got a lot of debt, and that could come back and bite her because it's also now her debt.
Oof, yeah, and that's an unfortunate one because, as you said, it really depends what kind of contract that they actually got into in the beginning. Sis, you, I'd like to come to you here for a moment because, as Gerald has explained, it's very critical the kind of marriage regime that one does decide to enter into with their partner. And I think it's important for us to also reflect on the, you know, when individuals have an opportunity to change that regime and if that opportunity even exists, especially in light of how or where our listener is positioned at the moment. Can she go back and redo certain things if possible?
Divorce is very painful, and it comes after something that started very beautifully, where two people were so in love that they couldn't live with each other. Hence, we got married. And along the way, things happen, life happens. And very few people that I know, that I have come across and that I've heard of, would actually right up front prepare for a should we get divorced, what are we going to do? Most oftentimes we don't think of that because we're so in love and we don't envisage that at some point something like this, unthinkable, you know, would happen. However, as far as I know, the regime that you've chosen right from the onset stays. I stand corrected, and maybe Gerald can come in here. I have heard of some instances where people have gone and actually undone the initial regime and entered into another one. I know it is not easy because the contract is legal. So when you want to undo it, end it, and re-enter into a different contract, that could be a different journey. It could be very complex.
Very true. Gerald, is there any point where one can actually go back and redo and undo certain things? And when is it too late, such as going through a point of a divorce?
Well, look, there is some precedent that you can go to the High Court and ask and undo it. A lot of people who undo it actually go through a divorce and then get remarried with a marriage contract. But in terms of you, once you're in the community or property regime, you can't go and amend it or edit it. You actually have to divorce and then get remarried with the actual marriage regime type you want. That's the only way people find a way around it. But in essence, you know, it's also an emotional experience to have a pretend divorce because it's like saying, let's have a pretend funeral.
Yeah.
You know, things don't always end well or go as planned after that.
Certainly not. You're quite right. A very difficult environment to manage for many couples and loved ones. If you've just joined us, we are in conversation. Our feature this evening is Inside Your Pocket, where we talk all things to do with your personal finances. And this particular day, we are focusing on a clip that has been shared, a voice note that one of our listeners has shared with us. She's getting a divorce and is worried about her assets and finances because her husband has been unemployed for more than 2 years now, and they are married in community or property. So the question is, how can she or can one actually protect their assets? If you're going through a similar experience or have certain questions regarding this, feel free to dial in on 086-000-959 or tweet us at Kaya on Air. Use the hashtag KayaBiz. But sis, you, I guess let's start off from your perspective as well, just to identify the areas where our listener could actually try to protect her assets and what options might be available to make sure that this divorce and separation is one that takes place as smoothly as possible from a financial point of view.
From a financial point of view, Google, education is key. Being financially educated, financial literacy is paramount. Second to that is understanding and knowing the different types of marital regimes that exist and which one you've entered into. And obviously the legislation and regulations that govern the regime or the contract that you've chosen. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to finances, how one can protect oneself. And look, this is something that happens when it happens, when things go south. But the best place to start is, obviously, you need to sit down and have that meeting with self. You are now assessing, how much do you have? How much do you have that is in your name? Where is it? Where is it sitting? Where is it held? And obviously, off debt, how much is shared? And like I said, how much is in your name? And this now includes everything that we've spoken about. It can include bonds. You know, are you part of maybe the house or the property registered in both your name? The bank accounts, how many do you have? Where are they and how much is there? Are there any investments in your name or both parties? Are there assets that you may have? This could be maybe cars. It could be properties elsewhere. It could be shares. It could be stuff that has financial value, policy. What do you have and where is it? So you need to take stock of that, firstly. And secondly, documents. Mm-hmm. You need to find your documents. You need to find your receipts, your contracts, your statements, so that you can quantify the value. This is going to be asked for. You need to put the value on the table. And often, value has to be proven via a document or a statement. You need to have the copies of the document as proof.
Identify.
For liquid assets,
uh-huh.
I beg your pardon?
Go ahead, ma'am. I was about just to give a refresher on what you mentioned, but you really mentioned the importance of identifying assets in your name, documents, and having a proof of that for liquid, as well as, I guess, illiquid assets, right? Like property as well, if that's an element that you share.
Yeah, it could be fixed assets and liquid assets. Liquid assets is cash. Do you have cash around that could not be maybe in a bank account, but it's sitting elsewhere? It's at home, it's in a safe, a bank safe, it's lying around owed to you and stuff like that. Whatever is in your name must be accounted for. You need to know the law, Google, like we said, mm-hmm. which marriage regime you've entered into, and what are the consequences when it comes to divorce. What is also important is, as and when you are at that point, choose a reputable, strong defense team, and that is now legally support, family, and advice. You could also look at counseling and stuff like that, because this is going to be a very rocky emotional journey.
Indeed. I'm glad you mentioned that, because so often it's something that is completely overlooked, as many people might just be in a hurry just to wrap up the process as quickly as possible, uh-huh. without making sure that they have the necessary support legally, financially, and psychologically to manage some of those pressures. Mr. G, I'm keen to...
Just one last point before we continue, Google. The last point would also be, decide what you want to keep and decide what you think or you feel is fair or right for your spouse to take, walk away with, or whatever. And what is critical here is, usually during a divorce, for most people, they are fighting. They can't stand each other. Mm. Therefore, the conversations and decisions become so irrational. There's a bit of fighting each other in between. But if it's consented, not contested, but you both have consented to say, it's okay, let's part ways.
Exactly.
And very amicably, no emotion. Of very little emotion, no fighting, no bad blood. And often people that are in the space are able to make the right decision, and it's healthy, if you know what I mean, going forward, they part ways amicably. But if it's contested, it's a problem.
Oh, yeah. Emotions are very high. And as you say, sometimes it's required for people just to take a quick breather to get some clarity and feedback there. In a moment, we will get Mr. G back to give us some feedback. But Sis Yuna, something else that's quite important is that we know that life happens, right? Two things in life are certainly guaranteed, death and taxes. And that raises some concerns as well about what if one of the partners dies in the process of getting a divorce? As you say, people haven't agreed on how they want to separate assets. And then yet, one party dies and then the spouse actually happens to benefit everything. How do we need to manage those dynamics, and what paperwork and as you say, documentation needs to be cleared to show that these are two parties in the process of a separation and divorce?
You know, when that happens, Google, it just complicates things even further, because depending on the marriage regime, again, it depends how you're married. Therefore, what are you entitled to receive or gain or whatever. But when one spouse dies during the process, remember, both families are aware that you're in the process of a divorce. They might then come into play to say you're not going to get anything because or you were in the middle of a divorce and they would want to get involved. So it is paramount for us to be knowledgeable, to be educated financially, legally, and otherwise, but also have a good support structure, like I said earlier on, legally, support emotionally and psychologically, because this is not going to traumatize you even further. Mm. Maybe for some person, you'd think, oh, it's a relief, then everything is going to run smooth. It may run smooth if there's no contestation. But if somebody comes in and says, you cannot benefit this because you said how some of us are, or you were in the middle of a divorce, it might just make everything complex. But documentation is important. A will is important, because that will still be in effect for as long as that divorce settlement hasn't been finalized and documented.
And that's very important. And you lead us to a critical theme that we will be discussing next week, Sis Eunice, which is Wills Week, right? And we're well aware that many South Africans don't have enough wills or don't write them, and often just rely on, you know, all of this goes to my kids. Unfortunately, once you pass on, sometimes the camaraderie is not that great. And Mr. G, maybe that's also something you can assist us with in terms of wills, especially where there's children involved. That's an element we haven't touched on, and I'm keen for you to help us unpack managing a separation where there's children involved. And of course, maintenance, healthcare, medical aid, school fees, all of the likes needs to be incorporated. But even in the unfortunate event of a death of either of the parties whilst they're processing their divorce, is it possible for one to actually update it during that period, just to say, hold on, I'm not too sure my 50% of my pension fund should go to my spouse anymore, but I'll have a will just to clarify where we are within our relationship dynamics and have that reflected in terms of how I choose to distribute my assets. Mr. G?
Yes, definitely. I think, you know, the wills arrangement is important, but I think another point for our caller is tax. Fathers are very interested when divorces happen, because you suddenly have to do your annual returns and square up with SARS. My biggest concern for her really is the fact that he is not employed, and then she admitted that he's got a lot of debt. Mm. A lot of people during a divorce, they load debt into the divorce. So suddenly anyone who he thinks owes money can pop up and say, your husband owes me money, I also want to make a claim against him. So she needs to be very vigilant in terms of dirty tricks. You know, very few divorces are done in a kumbaya spirit of we're friends, we love each other. No, it's war. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's the risk that he will come with extra debts or try and clean the slate for every debt he can think of using her. Her provident fund or pension fund is now also at risk because he has a valid claim if it's community or property, and the fund will have to pay him in cash. You know, it's all in cash. So it can get particularly messy in terms of how it can end up for her. And you know, usually people in the settlement try and say, you keep your fund, I keep my fund, but that only works when you're both working. And this is a fairly short marriage. So to me, 7 years, you know, it could end up costing her. So she needs to prepare mentally, as Sis Eunice was saying, you know, she needs to prepare mentally, get counseling. Don't make the mistake of hiring a friend or a family friend as your lawyer. You need somebody who's sober-minded. You don't need cheerleaders at this time. You need somebody who's going to speak. The caller didn't mention any children, but if there are definitely children in the equation, that also needs to be dealt with in the family court in terms of their post-divorce care. So all those things need to be taken care of. And, you know, I'm worried about her. So I would say, look, she didn't give us the full story. She can direct mail me on social media, and I'll try and give her more tips in terms of what she needs to look out for. A lot of people hide assets also during divorce, and, you know, it gets messy. Suddenly, the money you knew he had has gone, you know, so he starts withdrawing and spending money like there's no tomorrow, just so that you can't get half of it.
Raises major, major concerns, and as you say, really needs to be treated as a sensitive case with the right support, with the right knowledge and, of course, expertise that are available. And you can do this by reaching out to professionals like Sis Eunice Sibiya. She's an independent financial educator and coach. On social media, you can find her at Eunice the Coach. And of course, Mr. G, Gerald Mwandiambira, acting CEO and chief strategist at SASSI. You can also find him on social media at Gerald CFP. And really helping us in terms of a very difficult conversation, because divorce and separation is nasty. It's not comfortable and painful, as has been described by our guests, and really does need to be managed accordingly with the right support, as Sis Eunice highlighted. Get the right lawyer, get the right financial planner, and speak to these specialists to assist you, including getting some kind of therapy or counseling. And of course, taking into account the full experience, your marriage contract, any wills and other elements of your income and assets that you might share with your partner. And these will likely be impacted by this critical separation. So we trust that we've been able to answer some of the critical questions that our listener had. But of course, this is something that is personal to one's particular environment, and of course, particular to your scenario. So please do reach out to a professional like our guests, who might be able to help you. Thank you once more to both my guests who joined us this evening, Gerald Mwandiambira and Sisyunis Sibiya.
Inside Your Pocket on Kaya Biz.
Kaya Biz with Guguletu Mfupi.
Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.